And if I am sowing for my barns, I am not sowing for God and the one who's going to reward me and the things that I genuinely want. Because this winter, if I have more acorns than you, what does that matter if my life is a spiritual mess? And so we need to be thinking about the more than. Verse 31. Therefore, don't be anxious saying, what'll we eat, or what'll we drink, or what'll we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't life more than what are you going to wear? And yet we get stressed out about it. The more then is the seeking first the kingdom. In Luke 10, here's a passage that's not in Matthew. You have my permission to not look it up if so you are inclined. In Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. Martha's serving, and she wants Mary to help out. And Jesus answers in verse 41, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You're anxious about many things, and those things are real and exist in the world. If nobody makes dinner, there will be no dinner. That's a truth. But one thing is necessary, and that will not be taken away. And so trying to discern between the two is not always that easy, but it is of vital importance. We need to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's an interesting command, right? Paul commands, thou shalt try. Try to understand. Try to figure out what is it that God likes. That's an interesting, some of the commands are really black and white. Thou shalt do this thing. Thou shalt not do this thing. You need to try to figure out what God likes and then look at what that is sitting in the midst of in that discussion there in chapter 5. Or if you jump back to Matthew in chapter 26, this is a story. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, and they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment for my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What's more important? The oil we pour on Jesus in its intrinsic value, or that we are anointing Jesus? What is more important? You know, the walls and the roof, or the reason we come together and that we're happy that there are walls and a roof. So we need to sow to the right sort of things. We need to discern what is right and what is better. What is going to fill my life with light? And giving Jesus a kiss for some coins is not going to fill my life with light. So how do we sow? Well, you got to look for the good stuff and take advantage of it. I'm going to read more than just verse 3 here in Isaiah chapter 2. It's a really neat image, though. Sometimes the Old Testament prophets can be a little bit intimidating, but this is, I think, a pretty easy image to see. Just looking at the first 5 verses here in Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's going to come a time when God's mountain is going to rise and be bigger than any of the mountains around it. And all of the mountains and the nations around it are going to break the law of gravity. And like rivers, they're going to flow in the wrong direction. They're going to flow to the mountain. I think that that's a fun image. They're all going to come to this mountain. And they're going to come to the mountain of God because God's got the right ideas. He's got the wisdom. He's got the word. And when we come to him, we can know. And so the Lord is the things or has the ideas or has the words that we need to sow. We have this great statement at the end of Hebrews. Another place and way of finding what do I need to plant is following good examples. I don't get to see Jesus walking around talking to people today. The best I can do is seeing him in my mind's eye when I read the Gospels. But there are a lot of people who have lived a good life, older than me, younger than me, and I can follow their example. I can listen to the way they talk. I can listen to the way they reason through ideas. I can consider the changes they've made in their lives, what they've done to help raise their children, what they've done to help other people, what they've done to serve or to teach, the information they've gathered, the way they teach. Remember your leaders and those who spoke you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. That's how you plant. That's a way that you plant. And then we see, as the church was just getting started in Acts chapter 2, there's like the wind and there's fiery tongues on their heads and they're saying all the languages and this is so awesome and this is so cool. And then what did they all do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Which, I mean, let's just face it. They all went to church. They got the Spirit, and there's miracles, and there's sounds, and there's fire, and it's amazing. And what did they all do? They started going to church all the time. That's basically what it says. I don't know how often that is. It talks about day-to-day. I don't know if all 3,000 managed to do it at the same time, or if they were taking shifts, or they were taking... I don't know what that means. But this is what they did. And I'll be honest with you. Attendance sermons are annoying. Right? They just are. You don't want to hear it, and I don't want to say it. Let's just face, who are we, who is a preacher preaching an attendance sermon to the people that are attending? And all we're saying is, man, all those other people are losers, and we're awesome. You know, but this is a way that we plant. That's the idea here that I want to think about. Because there's not really any verses that you can use to attack people. Thou shalt attend. Hebrews 10:25 says, thou shalt not neglect. It's interesting how God tells us and gives examples of why we ought to get together. Right? I just think that that's really interesting. It's kind of nice. Because if there was a thou shalt attend, then we'd all be here when we have the flu. And that would just be unfortunate. Or if a snowstorm comes through and we're all at home sinning. Because we can't do the thing. Do you realize the liberty that God gave us is a beautiful thing? But it's not just about showing up at church. That's not the idea here. There are so many things that we do when we gather together. Right? You've got, whether you're doing your daily Bible on your own or with somebody else, or you do your daily Bible reading as they are doing their daily Bible reading and you get together with them to talk about it. You can text the verses back and forth. I've got someone I'm doing that with right now. Every day, that's a very big, quote, air quotes around the word every day. We're texting back verses back and forth to each other. You can listen to all your phones can do an audio Bible while you're driving. There's podcasts out there. There's all these sorts of studies that are going on, one-on-one or in group. There are ways that you can sow the spiritual seeds in your life. We get together to pray. We get together to sing. This coming weekend, we're going to get together to learn really neat stuff about God. Okay, everything about God is really neat. But why do I need to listen to those stories? How are they? What's the specific fruit out of that I need? That's not a very productive question, I think. Did you know? My brother showed this to me. I thought it was great. You can make worksheets for chapters of the Bible in about 30 seconds using ChatGPT. And they're amazing. They're amazing. You can write a 10-minute invitation And you can even specify from the perspective of and throughout any denomination you want to, and you'll get that lesson in, you know, whatever different denominational slant you want to hear it from. You can get the AI out there to write all of your Bible stuff that you want. That is an example, what might be fun to play with. That is an example of what you can get when you go to the world. There are dozens, hundreds, the trite, spiritually minded books that are out there. Have you tried to read some of those? You know, 100 pages of dumb thoughts for the one that was halfway decent. They're not bad to read. I'm not saying that I can write amazing books or that, you know, our classes are going to be the best. But what we have when we gather together is tailor-made Bible studies. Because I am trying to think, what do we need? Or you are saying, Dan, this is what we need. This is what we need. And I don't always pull it off the best way. And when that's clear, y'all start coming out with the comments. We have tailor-made to your or our specific needs, studies and considerations, sermons, prayer. That's what we get when we gather together. We get the kind of encouragement that I personally need and that you personally need. There's so many great things that we get when we come together. And when the other option is just, well, no, they're not going to be the words of life. But when we come to Jesus, we do get the words of life. How is, for instance, with the Bible Forum coming up, give me the three fruits that the Bible Forum lessons are going to give me. I'm going to come home with three fruits. I only have two hands, but I'm going to get through. What are the three fruits I'm going to come home with? Life just doesn't work that way, right? I don't know what your problems are. Needs. I don't know what your needs are. In song number 291, I didn't even write the name of it, but we sang it a little bit earlier. Verse 3, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see, but I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which he's committed, which I've committed unto him against that day. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 hours. And so I don't know what those fruits are going to be that I'm going to get out of it. Or I don't know what is the one seed I need to plant today for the thing that's going to show up 2 hours from now. I don't know. But I do know who I have believed. And so how am I going to get that knowing to make a difference? What do I need to plant? Well, we kind of need to plant everything, right? Look at Matthew 24. Right before he gives three parables in chapter 25, honestly, about a coming judgment, he opens up with this one. 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at their proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. That's it. Are you doing your job? Blessed are you. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master's delayed, begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come at a day when he doesn't expect him and at an hour when he doesn't know, and will cut him in pieces and put him in with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It isn't about trying to specify what are the four seeds I have to plant or what are the four things I'm going to get out of attending a certain thing. How is it that serving this sister is going to help me? What are the itemized ideas? It's what can I possibly do? We need to be working. We need to be trying. It's not about the predictive point here. We need to be working and serving and not getting lazy. And that's what we really got to do. Because just a few pages over, Jesus says, couldn't you watch with me? Couldn't you pray for an hour? And I think that that really ought to be the way that we think about sowing, planting. We need to be wise and ready. Jesus taught us to be wise as serpent and as innocent as doves. Jesus, that's in Matthew 10, 16. Jesus says that we're to be ready in season and out of season. He says it through Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 2. We're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to be ready. It's not about dates and amounts and predictions. By being wise and by being ready, we can handle what is unpredictable, because that's what life is. And if we have this idea of, I'm going to pray with Jesus for this hour, because Jesus asked me to, and that's how we approach fear of consequences. Oh, I don't know if I'm... We will stay and we will do the right thing, even if it's only one talent that we've been given. We're going to not hunger after our own stuff like that one unmerciful servant. We're not going to be distracted by anxieties. We're going to have a single clear eye directed to the Lord, not distracted by the cares and the things down here. We're going to know the good portion. We're going to anoint Jesus rather than getting wrapped up in how expensive the anointing is. We're going to show up, whatever that means. We're going to show up to serve. We're going to show up to read. We're going to show up to worship. We're going to show up to pray, whatever that means. We're going to be doing these things because we are going to pray for Jesus for just that hour. I don't know what that hour, the word hour means for you. Some of us have more time in the day than others. We're younger, more energy. We're older and don't have little kids sucking the energy out of us. I don't know what it is. We all have different amounts and times, and there's seasons in life. So I don't know what the word hour is going to mean to you, but we need to show up and pray. We need to do what Jesus asked us to do. Let's look at Psalm 49. And the lesson will be yours. The things that Jesus has asked us to do aren't that big a deal. Sometimes I wonder if he gave us massive tasks, if we'd all feel excited and macho for doing it. But he didn't give us huge macho things. He said care, he said love, he said serve. And he wants us to do that. Let's read Psalm 49, and the lesson will be yours. Turn on. Hold on. There we go. Hear this, all ye peoples. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when iniquity is at my heels and compasses me about? They that trust in their wealth, that boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is costly and must be let alone forever. That he should still live always, that he should not see corruption. For he sees that wise men die, the fool and the brutish together perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and that their dwelling places to all generations. But man abides not in honor. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet after them men approve of their sayings. They are appointed as a flock for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be for Sheol to consume, that there be no habitation for it. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he shall receive me. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he'll carry nothing away. His glory shall descend after him, shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go off to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man that is that in honor understands not is like the beasts that perish. Man that in honor understands not is like the beasts that perish. I think even a lot of animals know the law of reaping and sowing. And we have to live in that reality. And we have to find the seeds and find the time to plant and maintain that garden so that we can reap the things that God is just so happy to give us tons of. In Isaiah 12, it's the springs of salvation. It's not the meager cupfuls. It's this deep well that's pouring out. And he says, come and get it. And that's what God offers to us. So let us do that. Let's step up to the plate. Let's really try. Let's really do. Let's show up for each other in our lives. Let's find the ways to root out the laziness and the omission and get busy by doing the things that God wants us to do. Because God's going to bless us. God's going to bless us as individuals. He's going to bless us as a group. And that's his kingdom growing and blessing so many more people. If there's anyone here who needs prayer or help with that, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing together?